very fresh. That means you're highly intuitive. Because you wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you weren't.
Very fresh to what? Hypnotherapy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to your whole ascension, your whole journey, your whole venture into the world of parallel realities, past lives, all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm about to be on my Saturn return, actually, if that gives you any hint around
how
old I
am. Well, I have no idea. What does that mean?
It's a year of tribulations, pretty much, that gives you opportunities.
We need to put that on the side of the either side of the table or on the floor.
You know what's funny is everybody in this ride that knows that, like, those great opportunities come with deep catalysts.
Oh, yeah. That moment in your life.
Yeah,
you know, and it's really, you're on the right side of the coin whenever you're looking at that and you're talking about this journey of catalysts that are coming. You just look at it with a smile on your face and you're just like, yes, I'm just going to get trampled and I'm going to love it.
What does Saturn return mean?
It's something that happens every like between 28 and 30 years.
Okay.
And for the person that's experiencing it, it is an opportunity. You can look at it as an opportunity of overcoming a bunch of challenges. So it's a way for.
So is it something that an individual specifically goes through, or is this something through like the stars line up, or
both.
Okay.
Yes. So everybody goes through it.
Don't they say that usually Saturn is when that comes into fruition, that's like the things that you need to deal with that might not be good in your life, or bad habits or toxic things in your life.
Yes.
Things that you need to change, and it really brings them up to the surface for you to deal with them or to ignore them, and then your life falls apart, kind of.
Yeah. Very well put.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay. So how do you know you're like, what do you feel like you're about to go through with that? What does that, break that down for me? Because I've never heard that before.
Oh.
So forgive my stupidity on this.
No worries. I use that term very loosely because I'm not an expert myself. I would love to be one day an astrologist at some point, but I'm not currently.
So is this in relation to some sort of, you actually had your astrological chart put together, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And did you put that together yourself, or did you have a professional do it?
Neither.
Neither.
You can do it for free online.
Okay.
Yeah, Alexandria talks a lot about that. She's always Josh, we got to do your astrological charts so we can see what kind of patterns you have.
Well, that's a way to say, like, maybe say, make important life decisions based on those certain chart projections. Or like, hey, maybe I shouldn't make an important decision or a financial decision or a business decision because I know the stars are lined up like this.
Not so much. It's really an opportunity to face some of the turmoil that has historically happened in your life based off of different patterns that have occurred throughout your lifetime. And for whatever reason, during the Saturn return, all of those things kind of get drawn to a head. Yeah.
I had a chart done. There was this lady that I used to follow. I can't remember what her name was, but she was out of Canada, and I used to watch her on YouTube. And this was when I was like contemplating leaving my first husband, and I did this like thing with her, and she did my whole chart and everything, and she literally told me, this is the month that you need to leave him for your financial stability.
Ooh.
And it was something about Uranus, and she called it Uranus.
Yes.
And and I did it, and it worked out fine.
I'm glad you listened. I'm glad you're here.
That is an interesting story.
It's true too.
I love that.
So about some of this past life, I want to ask you a couple questions on this, because and maybe you can give us a little brief introduction of what past life regression is, what your involvement with it is, and kind of what your aim or goal with it is, if you don't mind.
Sure. So past life regression is an opportunity for an individual to revisit a life that they've had previously. The results kind of vary on how clear your intentions are at the beginning of the session. Sometimes your intentions can be very clear, and then you might experience something totally different. And that's all based off of what your subconscious kind of needs to tell you or communicate to you. And what people get out of it is
unique to them.
Very unique to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite I call them all mentors. It's just the best way to call it because they're teachers. We learn from them, right? Dolores Cannon. I'm sure you probably know that name.
I only knew of it because of Shayna.
Oh, have you had a chance to check her out yet?
I have not.
Oh my God, you're gonna freak! Oh,
I know.
She's
this
like the pioneer
be...
of QHHT, quantum healing hypnosis technique.
Yes, and after they mentioned it, a couple of other clients mentioned it as well. So I'm like, I really need to get on this.
It's funny how the universe starts to reflect. They're like, hey,
Dolores.
Have you ever been able to hypnotize yourself?
Yeah, everybody can actually.
Can you kind of walk us through that process?
Yeah. Well, hypnosis itself is, the definition is a narrow state of focus. So if you can focus narrowly for just a few minutes, then you're more than able to hypnotize yourself. An easy way to do it is to count. So you can count backwards from 20 to 0. And, you know, with your eyes closed in a calm, quiet place where you're going to be in silence, uninterrupted. And if you can have a thought about, you know, the goal, again, setting intentions, what's the intention of this self-hypnosis? And sometimes it's just to relax, to find a stress-free environment for 5 minutes. I think of it kind of as like a mini vacation. Mm-hmm. So if you can close your eyes for 20 seconds, for 5 minutes, you know, however much time you have, anybody can do it.
I love that. Yeah. You know, I mean, I get a lot of the vibes of kind of like how I go into meditations.
Mm-hmm. Meditation, right? Is hypnosis.
And I think, yeah. And I think too, a lot of like the idea of hypnosis or meditation is about our brainwave states, right? Mm-hmm. About being able to downward shift into these different frequencies or waves of brain states. And so that theta and that delta brainwave,
yes,
states where that subconscious window opens up, mm-hmm, you know? And so that's super exciting. Now, Shayna, you had just gone through a past life regression. So you were kind of on the other end of that deal. How was that for you?
I didn't really know what to expect.
Right there in your face.
What is it?
No, the microphone's like right on his face.
The microphone was in my face.
I didn't really know what to expect. I had like read all Dolores Cannon stuff, you know, and I had thought that maybe it would give me some kind of like insight into like who I am now. And like if there were other experiences in my life that like kind of shaped like this experience. Also, I was like, you know, I've had some really messed up stuff happen to me in this lifetime. So, like, don't want to do that again. So, like, I was like, I want to make sure that I didn't not learn these lessons in the last life and then come back and have to relearn them again. So, but it was a very different, it was just an unusual experience for me altogether because I didn't really know what to, mm-hmm, expect. You
well,
know?
I could see it being like, because I've been following along for probably 5, 6, 7 years or so. And I had seen a lot of people in that pathway of doing quantum hypnosis healing technique and like hypnotizing essentially into the deepest levels of the way you can hypnotize somebody, and really it takes the right person that's being hypnotized and the right person that's doing the hypnotizing, both at a certain frequency and vibration, to like really hit into those deep, deep, deep levels. Like if someone's going in there and they're just high anxiety and they're attached to every word in the alphabet, you know, in 10 different ways, and you know, it has an effect on their emotional roller coaster, they're not going to be very easy to hypnotize because one, they probably can't even sit there long enough to calm their own mind down. You know, you had kind of spoken about a narrow path of thinking, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that to be able to eliminate stimulation and thoughts of places, people, things, right, and to bring the attention into a single focal point or focus, right, whether that's a single word or one sentence or even maybe a picture of the mind, right, being able to hold it on that one for long enough to be able to tap into the magic.
It's actually kind of counterintuitive because it is activating different senses. So the more that you activate different senses, the more that your mind is kind of overloaded and it automatically goes into that fight, flight, or freeze response. And that is also a state of hypnosis. So when you can activate, like, you know, what do you feel? What's against your body? What can you hear? Is there a breeze? Is they're a sound other than my voice, you know, and focusing in on those different sensations can overload the mind and allow the mm-hmm. person to escape into hypnosis, because it really is an escape. It's a mm-hmm. little vacation. And I think the most important thing is that it's a safe environment, right? You can't relax if you're not safe. So it takes a lot of trust, like you mentioned earlier, between the client and the practitioner. The client has to have some trust in the practitioner to know that I am in a safe place. And because I'm safe, it's okay for me to escape. And sometimes we call them higher emotional folks, that like their brain is just always, always, always going. Sometimes it's harder to get those folks kind of in and to know that, you know, they're safe. And oftentimes that can be correlated with different trauma that's been experienced in a lifetime, whether that was childhood or something in young adult or adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways, and that's what I went to school for. And yeah. It was a year-long program, so it wasn't just like a weekend course.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, and two, you like, it's also important to understand that like it's a practice, right? So like mm-hmm. especially when like, so say like Shannon, you were to go again, say you guys were able to do 20 sessions, right? Mm-hmm. Over that time period and that many sessions, you gotta realize you guys are coming together, you're matching a vibrational frequency, mm-hmm. you're emitting a pulse into the quantum, you're reprinting billions of times new realities with these potentials that begin to unfold.
Yes.
And so the more times you tune into that frequency, the more times and faster it's going to begin to exponentially replicate. And mm-hmm. so like new windows and pathways begin to open, new understandings and ways to be able to achieve these deep states of meditation begin to unfold. And so it also takes that repetition, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What are you attempting to achieve with multiple sessions or even just one session for those who, like, I've always thought of doing it, but like, I guess it was, maybe I can find out something that's wrong with me now because of it or something. But now I really kind of feel like I have a control over that chaotic mind that you're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've harnessed that mind, I no longer feel like, okay, I need to go see what my past lives were.
Yeah.
You know? And so what is the repeated sessions trying to accomplish?
I think for the most part, it's addressing what you just mentioned, you know, getting a little bit of insight about some of the challenges or obstacles that you're facing in this lifetime and seeing, you know, what the lesson is.
And so have you actually, I know that you're a practitioner and mm-hmm. you, but have you had one of these done on you and have you done it to yourself?
I have done it to myself, just on one occasion, and it was during my certification, program or process. And I didn't have as rich of an experience as Shayna did. And I was being interrupted every now and again, so I wasn't able to fully experience it, but, I hope I can someday soon.
I really didn't think that I could be hypnotized. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of like, almost like challenging it in a way, like, you know, am I really going to actually be able to be hypnotized? Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty stubborn. But after that, in the first session that we did, she kind of tested that out. Like, you know, I guess, are there people, by the way, that like you try this with and it doesn't work?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a little bit less effective, okay. but that can be for a plethora of reasons. Right. And it's usually not me.
Right. Right.
It usually has to do with different substances that are in a person's body or really? System. So
okay. Like what like kind of what? Substance?
Well, like weed is okay. a substance. Because it's hypnotic itself, it's harder to enter that state of hypnosis.
So you would think that that would like relax you. Well, right. You
well,
do it.
Yeah, I always tell people this because I smoke marijuana, right? And so if you smoke marijuana, well, marijuana resonates at a very certain frequency, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're high, you're tuning into that frequency. And so if you're tuned into that frequency, but you're trying to match this frequency, right. well, you'll never be able to really match that frequency because of the frequency you tuned into with smoking. And so probably going in a fasted state with like no substances would probably be the optimal
way
to go into hypnosis.
Exactly. Yeah.
Any other substances? I'm just curious.
Well, like muscle relaxers,
okay. Xanax.
Sometimes, yeah. In different pain medication. and alcohol also.
Okay. Yeah.
So how do you do a past life regression on yourself? And like, what are you actually experiencing doing that to yourself without somebody guiding you through and asking you questions?
So I didn't actually do it myself. I did it during the certification.
Oh, so someone just did it to you. Okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood
so
that then.
Over Zoom. So over I just Zoom? Followed, okay. followed the words, as
what
they were
was
talking.
That experience like for you?
I wish it was a little bit more rich. But it was very interesting for me because I felt like I knew exactly where I was. And it was like the beginning of time. Like,
yeah.
It was the beginning of time for me. And I.
Beginning of like.
I just got goosebumps. Like,
like Earth like, time? Like,
yeah, like. Yeah, like. Yeah, like pre civilization. Like, I was in a mountain in a cave, and I could step outside of my cave and I could look at the ocean, but I could still see like the forest. And I'm a native Hawaiian. Awesome. And so for me, that's like. That's what clicked for me. Like, mm-hmm. This is not the only lifetime that I have been Hawaiian
right.
in. And in that lifetime, I lived there. Like, I was there. Uh-huh. And I had a partner there. And it's interesting in past life regression because you don't necessarily see everything, but you can feel everything.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that. That's it's almost like the emotion
too.
Maps out
yeah.
the structure, like almost like it all floods in instantaneously.
Yes.
So it's like you can't really pinpoint one area or describe it, but you just know what the overall experience of it vibrationally was.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, there are definitely things that you can
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in pretty deep, you can see some things, but like I never saw my partner. The only thing that I saw was my feet. And the view
yeah.
outside
mm-hmm.
and but I knew that my partner had been there and I knew where I was but I that's kind of as far as I could go
mm-hmm.
And again I was kind of being interrupted and I couldn't really fully experience it, but that was my short experience.
How many lives does everybody have, like the same amount of lives?
No.
Or how does
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, what's your perspective
no.
on that?
I think I don't know if this is controversial or not.
Oh, we love controversial.
That's what we're trying to get into.
But I think that there is a space beyond here, beyond planet Earth, where we are all spirits and beings in whatever form we are. I don't really know right now. But at some point, we agree to come here and we say, sure, I'll do this again.
Right.
Or sure, I'll do it this time. And this is the lesson that I'm going to learn. And consciously, we might not know that we've done that or what we've done exactly. But in our lifetimes, we're just kind of figuring it out. We're poking around, feeling around, and just trying to accomplish what we came here to accomplish. And
what is it that you think we're here to accomplish?
I think it's different for everybody.
And so if we're you know, reincarnating on Earth to learn certain lessons, is it for a benefit that is outside of this realm from another dimension? Like, we're coming here to learn something, so when we're outside of this life or wherever we go after this, that we have that knowledge from what we learn on Earth to do something? Or I guess what's the point of even learning a lesson if there's like not an end goal?
Well, I think the goal is bringing the information back to the whole.
Yeah, it's collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking today, well, I'll leave unnamed, who very strong Christian person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of, you know, modern Christians will say that, you know, there's only one life, you're born here,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to die and go to heaven or hell. What is your stance on that, I guess? Well, obviously, I know you believe in past lives, but,
yeah.
like, what would you say to that? And I guess, why do you think that's such a strong belief? Or have you ever had any hate come back on you for, you know, what you're doing?
Thankfully, no. Not yet. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty new here and new to this work. So,
yeah, go to church. See what happens.
Yeah, not necessarily my cup of tea.
I think you'll be just
do you,
fine.
Do you have a religious background at all?
I was raised a Pentecostal Christian on
Here
the reservation in California.
So
wow.
what
yeah.
what got you interested in this, and how does your family feel about, you know, what you're doing?
I became interested in this after I heard a sneak peek or like a sneak preview of what a hypnosis session would be. And it was actually, I believe, a quantum healing hypnosis practitioner. And I was just in awe of my experience. I was like bawling in my bed and it wasn't necessarily voluntary and I didn't really know that it was happening, but it was something that my body just needed to do. And it was such a powerful experience. And that's really what got me into this field.
What age was that?
Oh, it was just a few years ago.
How old are you?
I asked this question already. She never answered me.
Oh, okay. How old are you?
You guys don't know nothing about women, do you?
Yeah. No, I ask all the hard questions.
No, I'm 28. I'll be 29 this year.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. And in our generation and moving forward, is one thing that we're losing that I can tell with society is the originality. So, for instance, Dolores Cannon, back then, you talk about how do people feel about her and what she does. Honestly, now we live in a time where this type of information is more acceptable to people. I think more people are kind of trying to, like, look outside of Christianity to find the answers. And so I think that back in Dolores Cannon's time, it was not acceptable.
At all.
Like, yeah. She was the first one who brought it into the Western, and she didn't have any books or material on the subject. Mm-hmm. She literally had to create her own.
And so her books, yeah. Raquel, just so you're kind of caught up, her books, she wrote this book. So she would put people into these deep hypnosis states,
mm-hmm.
and she would access what she would call like source energy or whatever it is. And she would begin to ask it questions, right? And so she started writing this question and answer book. Well, no matter where she was at in the world or whoever she put down, she could get to a point in the hypnosis where that same subconscious, that same source would come through and continue on her books. And so whether she was on the other side of the world or anybody came to her, she could get them in such a deep state that this same source, this unified source of energy would come through, and then she was able to write all of these books. And and she's got some incredible writings from, I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's kind of like the Law of One. You ever heard of the Law of One written by Ra?
I have heard it.
Have you read any of it?
No.
Oh my God, you're gonna, her mind, she's so fresh. Yeah. She's so fresh.
That's what, oh, got me.
Your mind's gonna blow.
You should write
Aaron Abke down on there too. He's on YouTube. You're gonna love him.
Like Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abke. Yeah. And
You know what, Dolores too, like part of the one of the books that made that really was so interesting to me was she was able to historically accurately like find these people that she had talked to, and there was historically accurate information that they were giving her, you know, that you could look up and find out and pinpoint this person in that lifetime.
Didn't she talk to Nostradamus?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Letters with long.
I briefly remember that.
She had Jesus in the scenes. She had taken a girl that was like in a past life that was like with Jesus, right? Or Yeshua is his real name. And so she's got a bunch of writings like on that as well, which brings a lot of curiosity and new information to the mind about, you know, the image of Yeshua. And yeah, you'll love her.
Have you ever put somebody in hypnosis that lived a notable past life, like either a famous person or that was involved in some type of big historic event?
Not yet. I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure we'll have multiple, but not yet.
What is the most interesting experience that you had with a client?
I think it was with Shayna.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I honestly find that kind of strange because what Josh was mentioning earlier is that you need to be in a clear, receptive state of mind. And so it shocks me that she had such a grand experience because she was kind of doubting the process and not thinking that she could be hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that counteraction kind of unique.
I feel like you're in agreement if you show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, it was something that I had really thought about. I knew I wanted to do it, but I think it came from a place of like, not like fear of knowing what was on the other side of that, but like fear of if it would change this experience, maybe. You know what I mean? Like if I was going to find out, like I was a dude in a past life, like, and then that was going to mess me up.
Wake up,
you
next
know what
morning
I mean? Or like
Nick was a female.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. You know, so like, I think it
the
was,
Mandela effect.
So what that. About Shayna's session, made it so prominent for you?
Shayna, do you mind if I share?
Yeah, no, oh, yeah. I would love to. Yeah. Okay. I'm an open book.
Okay.
Put it out there.
Well, there's no censorship here.
Yeah.
There is a client duty. I have a duty to my client. no, I've only had a couple, honestly. Past life regression is kind of a hefty venture because it's kind of a commitment to at least two sessions. And sometimes that's a big lift for folks. And I totally understand that. With Shayna, I was very curious because she actually experienced two different lifetimes when we were in our session, and that wasn't something that in our certification process they prepared me for. but it was very, very interesting that she went and very vividly from one place being barefoot on the dirt to another place being a little girl playing in what seemed
completely
like a backyard or something.
I was in an apartment. And what I was going to tell you, too, is there was so much more going on.
Yeah, there always is.
That I could not, like, articulate. Because as I'm, like, it's like you're in two places at once. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm in this room. I was in kind of like an apartment that reminded me of, like, 1930s or something like that with, like, the old radiators, like, that the water ran through or whatever. And I could tell that I was, like, probably in some type of a high rise, you know, because when I looked out of the window, even though I was little bitty, like, I could see buildings and stuff out there. So I wasn't, like, on a ground level. But, like, all that stuff is going on, you know, and then she's asking you, like, where you are so she can move you through it. So you're trying to, like, articulate it while you're experiencing it at the same time. And the even crazier part is that you are there. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel everything. Like, I could smell what was going on there. I could feel just what it felt like. Like, and there was another point, like, I cried a couple of times. The first life regression, the first life that I experienced, I was kind of frantic because I was looking for food for my family, my brothers and sisters, and I knew I was really far away from them, and I couldn't find anything, and it was literally just, like tumbleweed and, like, brush and, like, no food anywhere, and, like, I was so upset because, like, I thought either if I don't come back with anything, they're going to starve to death. And it was so real. You felt all of those feelings.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Forgot my question.
Sorry.
How many past lives do you think you've lived?
Oh, who knows? I don't know yet. Really? Yeah, I don't know.
So I remember watching the session and taking her. You took her on the second life that she lived, the one she was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You took her from. Like to her deathbed in that, and then like crossed over and was talking about the experience of like who she was seeing and what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is from the therapy that you've done in this field, is that the same for kind of like across the board and what somebody experiences afterwards? In between, so like whatever, like you die, you go somewhere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So like that afterlife, is that kind of like the same, like? Because you're like talking to her and she's like already passed on, and you're asking her like, who are you seeing and what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, from person to person, does that afterlife experience change, or is it pretty much the same across the board for everybody that you've either studied or talked to yourself?
It's, I think, maybe not the same, but it's very similar. Person to person, again, going back to kind of the collective and like what we were before we came here and what we are when we leave, you know, I think it's very similar.
So what do you think happens when you die?
Well, my past life regression teacher would say that everybody attends their own funeral. So we all kind of peek in and see who's there and see what's going on. And then from there, I think we move to a place beyond here. And there are folks that are there greeting us, whether those are folks that we knew here in this lifetime or folks that we knew from lifetimes before. But I think those people are kind of like our guardian angels. They're always here. They're sitting among us right now for all of us.
Do you think they're helping us guide our life now?
Absolutely.
How do you think they reach out to us?
I see signs, and I think it's also different for everybody. Like, my brother had gone on a while ago, and I think he communicates to me through music. So like random ass songs I'll hear on the radio and I'm like, what is this song doing playing on the radio at 11 a.m.? It doesn't make sense. I don't think to anybody else but me. So just different things like that.
What about a hierarchy of other entities like angels, demons? How do you categorize those things in your mind, or do you believe in them, or do you feel like they have influence in our lives today?
I think they do have influence on our lives today. I don't know if I categorize them.
Do you believe in angels and demons, or how does that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think there are lighter energies and darker energies, but I wouldn't say they're angels and there are demons.
Okay, yeah.
There's energy.
Okay.
And sometimes the darker energies are energies that are just trying to figure out, well, can I cuss on here?
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. You know?
The darker energies are?
Yeah.
Do you, so, like... Coming back from like a Christian perspective, people mm-hmm. view these entities of having a knowledge that's beyond us. You mm-hmm. know, like they know more than us, and that they're not trying to figure out things with us, but trying to manipulate us in a certain direction.
I don't think that's true.
What do you feel like's true on that, or what do you believe about that?
Do you believe that there's other life forms in our realm?
Yes.
At the third, fourth density mark.
What?
At like third density level of consciousness, which is like the physical reality.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I do believe that.
Okay.
Do you believe that we've come back in previous lives were like animals or something like that? Do you think I was a dog at some point? And
it's not impossible. Dogs have souls also. Everything has a soul. Everything around us is made up of energy, and energy is part of all of us as the collective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say also that my teacher that I learned past life regression from has had experiences with clients where her clients don't go to Earth. They don't come back to Earth. They go beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they go. They're like
planets.
In an alien world.
I was
going to
ask that too.
My first life was in Andromeda Star Galaxy in the form of water. Was my first density life form.
You are a tall glass of water.
Resla was my spirit name that was given to me at that point in time.
J. Rezzy.
That's right.
So, as there. Yeah, I'd kind of like to hear more about that, like a previous life or afterwards on like a different planet or a plane, I guess. Like if somebody had a previous life from a different planet, is that?
Yeah, it's totally possible.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of any like stories yourself of anybody that experienced anything like that?
I haven't had any clients that have experienced that yet. Again, I'm sure they will come. But my teacher has had many.
Did they say what those like planets were like?
No, she didn't go into depth.
There's a really cool guy, Matthias Stefano, I think might be his full name. You can find him on YouTube or Gaia Television. But he remembers all of his past lives from when he was just a child, from living on different planets and living on Earth in different time periods and during the Atlantean period, which, you know, I've lived 19 incarnations during the Atlantean time period.
Wow.
And
man, you really dialed in on that time, bro.
Yeah,
some people do.
Well, I was able to transfer from the Andromeda planet because I was at graduation level during that time period, and so there was a graduation window opened on Earth during the Atlantean time period, and so that's also a way that you can incarnate in on this planet is if you match the frequency and you're ready for graduation, say in a different planetary realm that's of third density. You're ready to move into fourth density, and there's a planet with a fourth density graduation window going on, you can be transferred into that planet and incarnate again on that time period. Now, thing with Earth, though, is once you incarnate here, if you don't learn your lessons, we understand that we're on that loop cycle, and you have to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And so I think after death, you know, some of the things that I've heard, too, it really depends on did you graduate or not. For those that have graduated, this is probably not our first go around. One, you know, this is a very special time period. I believe that souls from all of creation are here, the strongest, most intelligent, most diverse DNA structures, right? We're all here on this planet right now to help move Mother Earth into this next octave of mm-hmm. fourth density, right? And so for some of us, when we pass through, it's the same awareness as what we have right here. Mm-hmm. And we're able to, you know, move into our next experience, whatever we want. But a lot of people that don't graduate, that are still four-set asleep, or stuck in the matrix, or don't realize their unity with all that is, and they think they're separate, they're a human or a body in this world apart from everything else, they have a lot of trauma and karma that is going to be basically exposed at that point in time at death. And so mm-hmm. I think that could cause a lot of trauma. And I think there is an astral realm or a place to where, like, it's a very nurturing rehabilitation, if you will, to get you ready to go back in. Cause
yeah. And I think that's why not everybody has the same number of lives.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who are like, all right, let's go, let's get it. I know I just got out of that place, but fuck it, I'm ready to go back. Mm-hmm. And there are other people that are like, look, man, I need some time.
Dr. Sue Mortar calls out the cosmic bus stop. She talks how, yeah, it's like a bus stop of souls, and we're all there. We're like, you know what? We're going to do a level 10 catalyst this time. and it's just going to be the most horrific experience ever. And we're going to level our souls up, and we're going to be graduated.
Is that where we are?
I feel like that's exactly what I did.
I feel that.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, what's interesting about Shayna's thing too, it seemed like from what she was experiencing when she was under that she was like in the 50s ish
mm-hmm.
around there,
yeah.
And that, like, from when she passed away, from when she had children in that mm-hmm. life, and those children would be alive today.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, like you could run into the kids that you absolutely. Raised in a previous life, like they're walking the earth right now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange to think about.
Yeah.
So like if, so what do you think would happen? You know, like, do you think you'd like some part of you would recognize?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, because again, energy, mm-hmm. right. And if spirits have met before, then they know each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's happened to all of us mm-hmm. before, walking through like an airport and we see a stranger.
Yeah.
The fact honestly, that we're here together right now doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was pre-planned.
The craziest experience I ever had with that was after my grandmother had passed. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen her. I guess my mother was getting all these signs and stuff, and I hadn't really gotten any. And then all of a sudden she came. Like, I'm in the middle of a dream, and I'm talking to some guy in a top hat. And all of a sudden she like comes from the side and walks across my peripheral, and mm-hmm. like all of a sudden I'm gasping for air. I can't speak. I'm trying to communicate to her, but she was mute. But I felt her energy like I had never felt before in my entire life. And I can't explain to you in words what it felt like, because it was like her presence and her energetic feeling right there. It was her, and I felt that it was her, but it was 100 times, maybe 1,000 times her energy that I've ever mm-hmm. felt. So it was magnified, so and it was overwhelming. It was just overwhelming, because it was pure joy and love, and I recognized mm-hmm. her for who she was. And then I snapped up out of that thing, because it kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So who do you think Jesus was? Whether in like a spiritual realm or maybe in previous lives, or, you know, growing up Pentecostal, have you thought about that?
I haven't thought much about it in a while, but I think Jesus was just a man. Yeah. I think Jesus was just a man.
Well, so let's say like any great spiritual leader, Gandhi or whatever, Christians obviously revere Jesus as the savior. Mm-hmm. Spiritual people will say Jesus, and like Gandhi and anybody Buddha, else, like I can't, Buddha, will say
Krishna,
that they were higher level entities that avatars. Chose to come back with the mission of raising the awareness of the population. Do you feel like there's any truth or reason to that for your experience?
I don't know about reason, but I do believe that there's truth in that. Again, going back to, like, we all have a purpose to serve. There are lessons to learn, and maybe their lessons were to learn from other people that were learning lessons. Maybe the lesson was love.
Do you think there is an existence that happens if we, you know, we die, we're not able to learn lessons, that we can get completely stuck on a loop that just happens over and over again? And that's probably the purpose of why, like, Jesus and Buddha and them came back. You have way more experience than anybody at this table of like what actually happens after you die. You know, so it's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, what do you think? You know, what do you believe about that? And either coming back and helping other people, or like, is there a hellish type of experience that can exist, and there whoever else is trying to actually save us from entering into that?
I think going back to what Josh was saying, like, there are times where folks just kind of get stuck in loops because they didn't accomplish what they came here to accomplish. And maybe Jesus is among us because he didn't accomplish what he set out to accomplish, right?
Or maybe they created the hell that they believe so wholeheartedly that was going to be there at the end of their life, that they just happen to pop into that experience.
Coming from where you grew up, did you just have some kind of like internal thing where you're like, you're listening to this stuff and you're like, obviously I believe it because this is how I'm growing up and this is what my parents believe, and but like you just thought there was something else? Or like,
no, it's kind of a long story, but the short is, my grandma is a diehard Pentecostal Christian. And you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm from the res, and my people were colonized into religion. So in a way, we were separated.
I have a lot of things to say about that. But
girl, so do I. But the short is that eventually I found myself in middle school, and my dad has been in and out of prison my whole life. Mm-hmm. He is a literal gangster. Mm-hmm. He is a shot caller. Mm-hmm. My mom is a massage therapist.
What a pair.
But she also is, you know, on her road to recovery. She's been in her sobriety journey for 20 years now. So I've got a lot of mixed experience. Growing up, I listened to a lot of, like, Tupac, Ice Cube.
Let's go.
Eminem, California.
The great classics.
Bone Thugs.
That's right up there. Too Short, Gandhi, E-40.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Gandhi, thank you.
Gandhi, Jesus, Tupac. It's all there, man.
So my grandma used to tell me, like, that's heathen music. Turn it off. And I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm not like, what makes me a heathen? Because I'm a good person.
Right.
I treat people kindly. I do what's asked of me.
Right. I also like gangster rap.
And I like gangster rap. Yes.
My dog on the inside.
That's real. Same. That's me. And so at that point where I was like, wait.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. If I'm being a good person and I'm showing love, but I like gangster rap, I'm still a good person. I'm still going to heaven if that's what it is.
Right.
Jesus still loves me. God still loves me.
Right.
So that's, I guess, where my questioning came from, and where I started to kind of veer off.
I had the
to my own.
The same. I do have the same reasoning, but I was so scared that this hell actually existed, and that because Christians believe that the only way to heaven is belief in Jesus Christ as being your Lord and Savior, and it's not actions that get you there. And like I was so. Man, for my whole life wrestled with that, and that's what Christians believe, and they believe that a good person can still go to hell, and they use this as a real, unknowingly for the majority of them, but people in church will use that as a way to control people.
And I feel like those people don't truly know what the Bible says.
Saying that, dog, I've been saying that a long time.
And if they know what it says, then I don't think they know what it means.
Out of context. Control and manipulate.
How does your family that are still Pentecostal, what do they say to you?
Well, it's funny because
I've got some fruitful comments to me.
It's still just my grandma. It's just my grandma. She had 7 kids. Not one of them go to church except for my mom.
So it really worked out well.
Yeah, it really worked out.
I love the fire and brimstone tactics, and none of them are working.
Yeah, it didn't work very well. But still, my family's like, hypnosis. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Because also I'm law trained. I went to law school. I have a law degree.
Do you really?
I do.
That's fascinating.
What, yeah. What type of law?
I studied federal Indian law.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's how I met my partner. And that's how I ended up out here.
What made you make such a dramatic switch from that to where you are in this journey?
I just knew that it aligns. It still aligns. So my initial goal, like when I left home, was to help people, specifically tribal people.
Yeah. I think it comes from just a love of humanity. Facts. You know, so like you want to be a lawyer because you want justice.
Yes.
And you want to help people and you mm-hmm. want to give people a voice. And mm-hmm. you do the same thing this way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Where did you where'd you go to law school at?
I went to law school at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a vortex place.
Yeah.
It's a vortex place?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It's a high energy mm-hmm. place. Yeah, it's where one of the vortex portals are. It's like super high energy. It's where a lot of communication with extraterrestrials and different dimensional beings takes place, because the lines of parallel realities and dimensions are a little bit thinner and kind of mesh together more in those areas. And so when you go there, you're tuning in, you're matching that frequency, and those who are adept and have real high intuition can communicate through telepathy and imagery and stuff like that.
Outside of past life regression, you do other things with hypnosis, like emotional coding. Can you touch on that and some of the other things that you do maybe?
Yeah, emotion coding is actually separate, even though it uses the same kind of mechanisms as mm-hmm. hypnosis, based on the idea everything around us, everywhere, including ourselves, is energy, and everything that we've experienced in our life is energy. Mm-hmm. So because it came into our system, we can also release it from our system. Okay. So it's just tapping in with my client, holding the intention that my client wants to hold. So some people come and they're just like, I don't really know what I'm doing, I just want to try. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine. We do a general session. Right. There are other people who are like, I really need to stop drinking soda pop. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bet. Let's work on it. Right. And people do stop. And it's just all energy. So the negative emotions and energy that our bodies are holding on to are impeding us from being the best that we can be and doing the things that we want to be doing. Right. So we just tap into that and try and release those negative energies. It doesn't happen in one session. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it takes a few mm-hmm. because it's taxing for our bodies, our minds, and our spirits to do the work to release that energy as well.
Yeah. And so what does one do if they want to become a client of yours?
They book online.
your website?
Yes. My website is Sapience, SAPIENCE.love.
Write that down. I'll put that in the,
yes,
in the bio.
I'm also on Vigaro at the Skin and Spa Beauty Boutique.
Here in Tahlequah, Oklahoma?
In Tahlequah, Oklahoma. That's correct.
Excellent.
Yes.
Do you do like Zoom meeting uh-huh. therapy?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
Yes, virtual meetings are
hopefully
an option.
Get you some biz. I know my stepmom was saying that she wanted to come do a session.
That'd be great.
And I'm curious to see about her past lives.
Same.
Yeah. I like my dad to do it.
Yeah, I would like your dad to do it too. I'm pretty sure he was like a Trojan or
porn
something.
Star.
No, I think he's a Trojan. I hope he wasn't.
Oh, I didn't get these skills from nowhere.
Wow.
What do you believe about extraterrestrials, aliens?
They exist. They are among us. They visit us from time to time. And I think there are certain points in history where they helped us out. Us being 100%. Humans.
Pyramids, sure. Baby.
They kept us from blowing up the universe.
Where are they? They got to be
like,
coming
soon.
Oh,
God,
soon.
These guys got nukes now.
I read in the Book of Ra. It's funny that you say that. You probably
does,
read it, too.
They visited all the leaders after they dropped Hiroshima.
So the only thing that can completely destroy energy is a nuclear bomb.
Well, it creates a black hole within itself, and so it, like all of reality would suck into the black hole.
Well, not only that, but it like destroys atoms on whatever
on different
atomic,
frequencies,
whatever level or whatever. I'm not a scientist.
So even though we think we might be doing that much damage here, we could be nuking entire civilizations in different
realms.
Right,
and having that capability is like you, that's the only thing that can destroy energy. So, you know, it can destroy a spirit and that would be the end, you know? So I think that's why it's so pivotal, I guess. That's probably why they stepped in, you know, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Intergalactic.
So y'all stop.
Planetary.
Stop doing that.
Planetary intergalactic.
Yeah. You should definitely read the Law of One. It's a, it's really cool.
I'll check it out.
Well, you know, on a positive note, at least we're on the timeline of 1,000 years of golden age, thriving interstellar civilization of love and abundance and free energy. You know? And although
I don't think she agrees with that.
Although some may although some may see the illusion of downfall and torment and torture and road bumps, we are the creators of our realities, and so our duty is to hold that frequency, hold that vibration.
I agree with that. I do. But I also think for folks like Palestinian people whose babies are being taken from them via emergency C-sections because their moms died in missile bombings, you know, that mom couldn't have changed her reality.
No, but she did plan that. Before she came.
And going back to the contractual thing, you know, you might be right, but it's still like, as a mom, to see those babies.
Very heartache. Yeah.
It is
very
heartbreaking.
Very heartbreaking and important for us to be aware of.
Absolutely.
Because although it's nasty and torment, it's still in the perfection of the whole, because if it is in existence, it's meant to be there for the whole to be able to move through this next level of density, right?
And I think that's another hiccup for the Christianity realm of things. You know, I think in church, if I can say that, church.
It's like that was worse than people.
Church. No.
We're in church right now.
Church.
We'll need 10% of your paycheck before you leave. So.
Each of you.
It's the Lord's way, okay? You got to do it.
You got to tithe. No, but I think that's one of the church's ways of, like, maintaining legitimacy is, like, there's legitimacy and positivity. So, but I think that's also why people are like, well, you know, my parent died, God isn't real. And I think, you know, you're right. It fucking sucks when your parents pass, when somebody that you love passes. But in the grand scheme of things, it's what is supposed to be happening right now in this moment. And that can be very, very unfortunate sometimes.
Yeah, so it's easy to miss the boat.
By your choices, also. Let's, like, talk about that, you know, like.
Say that again. I couldn't hear that.
Your death can also be sped up by your choices or losing someone, like, you know, anything like that. If you're not learning the things that you're supposed to be learning and you're putting yourself in bad situations, you know, you're shaping the experience that you're having. So
if we
contractually, if we
choose, you know, the experience that we're going to have before we come to this earth, why do we have bad experiences?
It's part of the journey.
So do you think we chose bad experiences?
Maybe you chose a lesson.
Somebody
you have
did.
To learn.
Well,
it
all involves that the karmic debt, right? I mean, you come in here with this plan to heal your karmic debt.
Yeah.
And so what's funny is, like, if we come in here already predetermined with the schedule of how we're going to behave with others and how we're going to solve this debt of ours, is like, does that eliminate the idea of free will? Because supposedly we're the only world that has the option to have free will, and that's what's different
here. That is, I love the conversation of free will, because I'm right there with you. The only free will we have is the choice you make after it's already happened. I don't control what happens to me next, but the only thing I can control is how I perceive it, and by me perceiving it in specific manners, well, then although I may not know what the next manifestations are going to look like, I can at least guarantee that they're going to fall on a specific vibrational frequency, and that's based off of what I'm emitting as an instrument in this realm, right? And so, and that all comes through our thoughts, actions, deeds, and how we perceive
right, and
the
so
reality.
I guess kind of the difference between what you're saying and what Josh is saying is, yes, it's important to understand what's going on in the world, but we as creators, where attention goes, energy flows. And so if I'm going to be the best person for the people in my life, am I going to, you know, be a good person and role model for the children in my life or whatever? It's like, I can't engage in those lower, like, negative activity levels because it's more important for me to be a sound mind and creation. And so constantly thinking about those negative experiences are going to produce negative experiences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, put me in a deep state of depression.
Yeah.
Because I had stopped focusing so much on mass media. I was like, okay, I'm just going to get rid of mass media or whatever. So, but I still...
What does it mean, like social media?
No, I'm talking about like mainstream,
like,
media and stuff.
Okay.
Fake news?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mainstream media, fake news. But then I got into a pattern where I was doing the same thing on social media, and you think, well, I'm selecting what it is that I'm selecting.
It's selecting you.
But it is.
Yeah.
And I've gone to such great lengths to not make, to make sure I don't even visually come across something that will be a negative implant in my mind, because the subconscious mind is picking up 100% of everything that you're inputting into the system.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so where you're a big fan of the rap and hip hop, and you name some classics,
yes.
And I'm right there with you.
Know.
And I want to know who killed Tupac, just like everybody else. But I don't see that as like a positive form of music anymore. And so, yes, I'll listen to some classics, but I really have been working to engage my mind in the way that Josh is describing and to really raise my vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those choices has been music selection. And so I've moved to some Beethoven. I've moved to some classical.
You do like 432 megahertz?
What, 432 megahertz?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because
healing
I was
vibration.
Such a distortion. I felt like that I was absorbing my entire environment, and I was just kind of short-circuiting and having over analytical thinking and such. And so, and my life just wasn't going well, you know? And I was in a deep state of depression because I'm looking so intently on what's going on in the world, you know, and is it going to happen here? Or we're going to have an EMP or whatever the case may be. And so I've really just been like, you know what? That's not
detoxing.
Really, it's, I'm like, yo, I'm even off social media, you know?
So you literally took yourself out of a state of hypnosis because the news is hypnotizing. Being on your phone, scrolling on your phone is hypnotizing. Social media itself is hypnotizing. Listening to music is hypnotizing. So you had all of this input that was hypnotizing you and hypnotizing you.
Well, yeah, and I was getting the results.
Right.
And the results weren't favorable.
Exactly.
And it was almost like I was in a dying... You can put yourself in hell here. And then just like you can put yourself in hell, depending on how deeply you got there, is how long it's going to take to crawl out of that, you know? And I finally am reaching the ledge where I can like breathe the air again.
Good for you.
And it's just like, I'm over here going, I do not want to fall down in there again. And so I'm just like, oh, it's important to me though, because it's like, it's the only way to be there for, it's the only way to show up in love and light for the people in your life. And to think in terms of abundance and to speak things into existence.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I may, it's like, know that all those things are going on in the world, they're not happening in my sphere.
In your reality. They're not in your
reality. Yeah. And so if I literally shield myself from all of that type of information, maybe I just peek in every now and then.
Mm-hmm. You're like, whoa, that's
you know,
still
but,
up over there. Okay.
We're focused on light, love, and happiness. We're focused on the paradigm. We're focused on building a podcast. We're focusing on, you know, truck country. We're focusing on our clients. We're focusing on our children, you know, and because that was the only way that, I guess, when you talk about being a kid, your parents probably, at least mine did, shielded you from a lot.
Mm-mm.
You know, and
I did not.
Oh, really?
I was sitting between two gangsters.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
Rolling to the farmer's market, eating strawberries,
okay.
Bumping Tupac.
Yeah, okay.
That was my life.
Did you have the hydraulics and everything on the car?
No, but it was a convertible.
Okay.
Yeah.
In California, damn. That's got to be one heck of an experience.
It was. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no. So I had a very different experience. which I really think was a real shock to me when I found out how the world actually is.
Yeah.
Because I went from like, oh, I thought, you know, everything's perfect, you know, and I can't wait to grow up and make my own decisions.
I didn't
right?
even know that people lied. I was like,
yeah.
What?
People are deceptive.
The not truth. What?
Oh my gosh. Wait, you know what it is? You're an only child.
I am.
And I'm an only child.
Yeah.
And so I have never actually met another only child before, I don't feel
here
like.
It is. You're an only child?
No way.
Yay!
I am.
What?
Trio. Right, the only child trio.
Oh my God. We're some weirdos, bro. Yeah. Like, it took me a long time. I'm still trying to acclimate, you know?
Well, I got to kind of take that back, I guess, because okay. I grew up on a 2-acre lot with all of my aunts and uncles and all of their kids mm-hmm. and my grandma. Mm-hmm. So even when my mom was out running around doing whatever, I still had like brothers and sisters. So earlier I mentioned that I had a brother who passed on. I lived with him for like 3 years and saw him every day of my life. Mm-hmm. So even though he wasn't like my blood brother, he was absolutely my brother.
Same thing.
So I, you know. I am, but I'm not.
So who is a good candidate for therapy, for your kind of therapy?
Literally everyone. Okay. And hypnotherapy is so flexible. Like, it can capture a plethora of challenges and issues. So it can be something as, it can be something like sleep enhancement. Like, somebody's struggling to be sleeping at night, then that's something that we can work on. It can be smoking cessation. It can be losing weight. It can be...
Now, what if I've got a list of like 20 items? Can we knock those all out and
bring them out? Bring them out.
One sesh.
So is there anybody, I think we kind of touched on this a little bit in the beginning, that people that cannot be hypnotized, or is it just like a choice of you not letting yourself be hypnotized?
Well, like Shanna said earlier, you know, if you show up to the session, that's like your willingness. That's basically all I need from a person. I can pretty much hypnotize anybody, and that's based off of the techniques that I've learned in my school. So I doubt, and everybody can be hypnotized, and everybody is hypnotized at least twice a day, every day. When FYI. They go to sleep. Yes.
Yes. Do you hypnotize your partner unknowingly?
Sometimes I do, and I don't even mean to.
This is why I stay single.
She got me. He's like,
this is how you got me.
I can just see her sitting over him at nighttime, like snoring. She's just like,
I'm beautiful.
Can you can you mess with someone while they're asleep? Like, can you just be like, I want you to take out the trash?
No.
You can say, like, you're gonna hypnotize my kids. Shut up. Count back from 20. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Deep breaths.
Yeah.
Deep breaths. Yeah.
So what is this school you keep discussing? Is this if anybody's interested in learning?
Yeah, I studied at the Hypnosis Motivation Institute, and it was actually fully online thanks to COVID.
Okay.
But it's based out of Tarzana, which is pretty close to LA. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit tougher out here because we're 2 hours ahead of LA. So they hold evening classes, which at the end of the day can be kind of tough, but it's totally doable, and I would highly recommend checking it out.
And you went to school for how long?
It was a year-long program. Yeah. Okay.
I still find it so wild to think that I've lived another life like this with people, friends, and I don't remember it at all.
Crazy. You can. You can if you want.
You're starting to really make sense of what it is, the technique that you're doing. It's like, my first initial thought was like, okay, you know, cool, sure, maybe you can, maybe you can't. But as you started to explain to it, it's like the intent that you program in here is the results that you're going to get.
As if you've already, as if you're already experiencing it.
If you know and understand how quantum works and that you exist simultaneously in all realms with your intent, you can send yourself there and get the response back.
Exactly.
And so instead of searching for something outside of yourself for answers, you search within.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you get the wisdom from yourself.
Because thyself is all things.
Yeah. That's what hypnosis is all about and hypnotherapy.
Man, you know, that's interesting that you said that. We've said a lot of this same stuff, but I think a lot of religious fanatics in any religion refuse to grow spiritually. We kind of talked about this when our first podcast together, how like fully believing in the Bible as an absolute truth will actually stunt your spiritual growth because you're constantly looking for an outside source to give you something that you're supposed to be finding within yourself. Hmm. So that's what I got from you guys. Just
So I mean, I don't feel like we're here to just dog Christianity or dog dogma. It's just like,
I know I talked about it a lot, like, because I struggled so deeply with it for so long.
Yeah, I can tell.
It's how I relate to a lot of the stuff that's foreign to me, is like through that lens, you know. And and I know so many people that struggle and have these same questions, and they're so scared to either go against their family, or they feel like, you know, there is a hell and they're only doing these things, and they're really scared to talk about it because it might shake their own belief, you know. And I think me talking about it is I'm just trying to be authentic with, you know, my own struggles. I know there's, you know, thousands of people that are going to hear this that are having the same issues, and to know that it's okay to have these questions and to actually search and to ask people. And, you know, don't just go ask your pastor, yeah, you know, who's going to just give you the same answer. There's other routes to find answers for what you're struggling with spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. You know, and that's one thing that we're offering here is more information, right? And we challenge you to not even believe us. We're not asking you to believe what we're talking about. What we're saying is to take the information, observe it. If you can apply it in your own daily life, apply it in your daily life, have some repetition with it, feel it, see it, experience it, and then you'll form your own truth.
Yeah, make your own truth, make your own exactly, observation, make your own reality.
And so what you're going to catch from us is like a free masterclass, and not in the sense that we are master students, although we all are masters, and that's why we're here doing this. Each and every one of us, all the listeners and everyone abroad and anyone in all of creation, we're here for a very specific reason.
Well, it sounds like a traditional Christianity, the way that it was, you know, told to us, just it was, yeah, indoctrinated. It seemed like that it wasn't, it just wasn't for internally. We just were, this wasn't working for me, or this is not for me. This is not my truth. And that these other things that we're discussing today is what led us to a path of some sort of realization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to say this works for me. I mean, what is it that, like, is that why I'm doing it? This works for me. Like, and if Christianity works for you, then mm-hmm. I'm happy that works for you. This is what worked for me. Is that where we're at?
Well, and here's really what we're offering is the ability to help navigate the excitement and the love in your life. And being able to identify what love is to you, what it feels like, and how to replicate more experiences to match that frequency. Now, along the way of doing this, right, you're going to come up against all of the shadows and all of the things that you believed that resist those truths, right? And so whenever I made the step and I'm like, all right, I am that I am, I'm beautiful, I'm grand, I'm magnificent, I'm pure, I'm holy, and I'm balanced, and everything is perfect within me. Well, then my higher self goes, all right, he's ready. Let's give him every reason of why he's not.
Yeah.
And I had to step through those mountains and through those trenches of every reason why I was not perfect.
Resistance is the catalyst of change. Mm-hmm. Like you have to meet resistance to break through to the other side.
Exactly.
But going back, you know, you talked about like finding love and like what calls you, what stands out to you. And I think that's what it comes down to. And what you were talking about, like, it's all about resonance. So we're all
right,
here,
and so
at different
I think
levels.
A lot of those indoctrinations, they elicit a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And so that to me throws that out of the equation altogether, because you're
fear is the opposite of love.
You could still be in love, but you're still divided into two spectrums,
which gives you a specific vibrational frequency.
And if you can hold the vibration of love solely, that's people will see, you'll just see people that you are complete strangers to you just light up because you're embodying love. Like, you resonate, you bring up the vibration of those around you. Yeah. And so it just makes more sense to, that's why I know what's going on in the world, but the fear can't penetrate my aura, because I really do feel if people are looking for a purpose and a calling in life, I really do feel like there's no better purpose than embodying love 24/7.
Do experiences in your past life affect your personality in this one?
I think it can. You know, I mean, depending on what your experience was and what you saw in your past life.
Maybe it's like a certain desire from either like being an athlete or a preference of some kind. Because people, like, you hear people joke around like, oh, maybe I was this in a past life. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Perhaps.
I would like to speak to that.
Speak.
So something that was, I don't know, it was just a really good feeling, I guess, when in in my past life regression, I don't have a great relationship with my mom. I never have. She just doesn't see me, and that's fine. Like as a person, you know? And it's always been something I've struggled with. I've made peace with it. It's not a big deal. I'm fine with myself. I know I'm doing good. So if she doesn't see me, that's her choice. But when I was in that past life, like literally the whole point of me seeing myself as a young person, I felt like was I had a really great mom in that life. Mm-hmm. And so like I feel like it gave me peace in this life to know that that's just not something I'm going to have in this life, but I have had it before.
Yeah.
So it gave me a lot of peace about that.
And even having not known that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that in the outset of beginning your session.
Right.
And during your session, you know, you were talking about your mom, and I was like, wow, you must have had a really great mother.
Yeah.
And that was an opportunity that I wasn't even fully aware of.
Right.
To also that, like help
that,
you heal.
You saying that validated like the healing that I needed to like know that I had had a really great mom, that I had had a good relationship that was supportive and loving. Yeah. And she didn't even ever say a word to me in the experience. Right.
It was just a feeling
and a presence of her, you know. So
what an honor. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. I like to use it as a training tool and actually create past lives of myself in certain versions. And so, and then channel that energy.
How do you create a past life?
So like, for example, like say, you know, I want to be an athlete of a certain sport, right? Or say I'm about to go join the military or something, right? Well, then I will, through my meditations, visit different lives and different realms of myself. And in one of those could be in, you know, maybe I was an extreme warrior in multiple lifetimes, right? And so I can actually sit there and I can envision myself as a commander of a legion of the best warriors in the world. And I can envision myself, I can take my consciousness from here in these five senses, and I can shift it into this realm, this reality of living and experiencing this. Maybe there I'm in camp and I'm training viciously amongst 20 men while I'm flying through all of the things, right? And then I can channel that energy into this lifetime and utilize at will
those skills,
right? Mm-hmm. Because it's nothing that I'm learning. It's something that's already within me. It's already information within me. And so it's just about being able to access that information and then to realize that that information is happening currently right now.
So are you talking about the power of imagination, that it's more than just daydreaming?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a tool. It's a quantum manifestation tool. Our higher faculties of thought patterning and emotions and the ability to cultivate and create, because you can't think of something that doesn't already exist, right? That's a known fact in the quantum realm, that if you can think it, if you can conceive it, then it exists currently right now in physical, in totality, right? The issue has been is our attention span so short that we're having a great conversation about this right now, but when we go hop in our cars and we take off, well then that protective personality, the ego, the alter consciousness, whatever you want to call it, right, kicks back into control drive and is like, oh, I got to make dinner for the kids. No, we got,
right,
you know, such and such is going to be over here at this point in time. And like, and so the idea is how are you spending as much time in your day in the protective personality as you are the creating and cultivating your realities? Are you in creatorship or are you in the matrix?
Since you and I have been putting a lot of effort into this, because a lot of my issues were, you know, letting my mind run wherever it wants to run. So that's lack of having that narrow focus that you're discussing.
Right.
And then that's lack of you having the clarity to create the reality that you want, because you're in distortion essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so an exercise that I've really taken this really seriously, you know, doing the exercises, doing the breath work, doing the meditation, because it's all of these things that's helped me become a whole, calm, peaceful person. It's the whole spectrum of things. And so one of the exercises I've been utilizing is staring at a candle at night.
I love candle glazing.
And so setting Hey, you're joking, dude. No,
no, he's like, you might like, which is the way Josh said this. He's like, I love candle gazing.
Bro, he's like, he puts a little icing on the cupcake. But anyway,
it's just Josh's delivery.
You got to get the right candle, though, man, because that makes a difference.
Yeah. So you just light this candle and you meditate in front of it. You set a timer for about 10 minutes. And every time you have one of these fleeting thoughts come up, it's like refocus back towards the candle.
Does it help so, because it's flickering? Like, does that have something
honestly,
to do with it?
There's probably some sort of metaphysical property in a candle.
Well, because I feel like...
But what you're doing, when you're scrolling, you're creating a small, short attention span because we're getting things in short bursts and short dopamine hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're removing the social media and then you're utilizing the candle exercises, you're attempting to gain that attention back by sitting down with it and removing the thoughts. And so that space between your thoughts is the attention and focus that you're cultivating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about holding a single point of consciousness. And so what he's saying is he's just holding his mind, his thought, his attention. He just is the flame.
Yeah. No thought. So where I used my favorite thing to do would be smoke a blunt and just sit there and think. Mm-hmm. I just like think and think and think and think and think and think. And now I don't think that is definitely not a healthy way to go about things mentally speaking, because we are creating
very analytical and repetitive.
I refer to it as mental masturbation. So it's like, it's not something you want to partake in every day,
right,
Nick?
That's funny. Let's spiritually shame some people. Are you mentally masturbating right now?
Well, not anymore. You walked in on me.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I thought I was doing a service, but all you're doing when you're mentally masturbating, or when what you're doing is you're running through all the possible scenarios in your mind of the things that could happen, or you know, you're getting that same dopamine hit from that type of thinking. So just sitting there and indulging in all of those things.
That's basically being a woman, just so you know. That's basically what we do all the time.
Well, good.
Hypothetical
I'm glad
situations
that, I
that
can
are literally never going to happen.
I'm glad I can get into your head a little bit.
Man, there is some real big time bliss in just not having any thought at all during the day.
That's how I live my life, dog.
Silence.
You can stare at a
surrender
wall
to the silence.
Bro, you don't even know. I've mastered that. Just stare at anything.
We were first. Think about nothing. First dating, and I was getting ready in the bedroom, and he was sitting in the living room on the couch, no TV on, didn't have his phone in his hand or anything. And I peeked out there. I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm just staring at the wall." And I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "I can do that for hours."
Hey, it's a skill that I worked really hard to be able to do.
Next
time I want you just to sit there with your eyes closed for like 2 hours.
Nick, help me out, man, because I want to know how you developed that skill, because I've shared with some exercises. Maybe you can elaborate.
Living, you know, it really wasn't like I had an intention of gaining that. I had a short story. I just dealt with something that was very traumatic. And I knew that I did not want to be out making decisions or being in a relationship or anything like that. So I basically just forced myself to be completely alone and in solitude and just live like that. Completely sober, had an extremely strict diet, did not cheat a single day, worked out heavily, and I just completely forced it for about a year and a half. And after that, like once I gained this, which I really didn't feel like I was gaining anything, I was just trying to work on myself. Future relationship I got into, I wasn't carrying any baggage or expectations from what I had experienced. And from that, I learned that I can completely control my thoughts, my patterns. I can recognize when a thought is bad and not feel any emotional attachment to it at all. And that's just kind of how I went about doing it. I didn't have a specific practice other than, like, everything that we're all saying in meditating is what I was doing. But there was no spiritual intent behind it. I was just trying to not be a piece of shit.
I kind of relate, and I feel like I'm in a similar journey now. It's like, I guess I've been isolated now for probably 5+ years. I mean, I'm on the road. And then even when I am around people, still feeling like I'm not really there. I don't really belong. I'm just a guy in a room. And so how long were you in that state? I guess, and honestly, conversations with Josh about these subjects is really kind of what opened me back up to even being able to climb out of that hole. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're discussing tonight.
You know, it was a lot of it was... That's my microphone. Can you hear me? Is
that good? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, loud and clear.
I think a lot of it was... I don't know how to put it. I'd done it multiple times before. There's when I lived alone for a few years and when I got divorced last, it was very hard from the situation that happened. Sorry. That was just so traumatic. It was so emotionally tolling that like I knew I had to be completely alone to just process what I was going through, because I really didn't think there was any way of really going to be normal again. So like to your question, to put a time limit on how I didn't have, I think I was able to go through it faster because I didn't have an expectation of that goal, you know, and to realize now that if I was trying to empty my thoughts, this is what I wanted to do, it'd be so much harder because you're constantly thinking about like what you don't have. And it's that way with anything that you're trying to manifest or whatever bring to your life. The more you chase it, the farther that carrot gets out in front of you, you know. And I think I had a goal of being in just complete control of myself and to be just the absolute most superhuman I could be. It was never about emptying my thoughts. I just knew that through this discipline of complete self-control that I could control everything else around me. And no matter what...
Like your reaction to it and how you felt about things.
Yeah.
And you could recognize
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
sense
like would you say like your triggers and whatever? And like it sounds like to me it's like, okay, hey, I was a bad person, or I was not, let's just not say bad person, let's just say maybe I wasn't in the best state of mind, and so maybe I was angry. I know I was, and I was projecting that anger onto other people.
I would do that. I wouldn't say I emotionally lashed out very much. I would, if I was experiencing something really bad, I'd go through seasons of just like extremely heavy drinking, strip clubs, hookers, bro, blow, you fucking name it, dog. Like that was it, you know. And I was sick of solving my problems like that, and I was sick of dealing with those temptations in my head.
It
and
gets like, old real quick, huh?
Well, for some, I did it a long time. You know, it was my go-to. You
know, so what was it that clicked? Because you're right. You know, I know some people today who are still doing that and going to continue doing that. So what clicked for you?
I would think it's if you're still struggling with that, I would say that you're not trying to learn about yourself. You're trying to if you're drinking or something, is because you feel like you have to escape a certain situation or, you know, what you're experiencing. And I was like, you know what? I'm so tired of letting myself turn to alcohol or hooking up with girls or whatever, that like I have to do something different. And I didn't know what else to do other than just to sit with my thoughts,
let it all go,
and fully examine, go into solitude and let it go. And
which is really fucking scary for a lot of people.
It is. Yeah. I mean, no, it wasn't fun. It wasn't some blissful meditative
experience. Here's the thing. Most people are comfortable in their escapisms. I mean, there's more than just the ones you've listed. Anything and everything to avoid the possible confrontation of yourself is an escapism. Video games are an escapism, you know, going to work, immersing yourself in work.
And then, a lot of that isolation, too, like whenever it first kicks in. I mean, what you're doing is you're ripping off the band-aid of the character identity, right? And so you have all of a sudden had grown up in this world, this environment, and this realm, and this is just where it ended up at, was, you know, with the drugs, with the girls, with the fast lane living. You know, and turning to that to feel the dopamine hit, to feel the need of life. And all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, this is not who I am. Right. And so, but when the consciousness wakes up, right, we then learn very quickly that there's a subconscious, and that the subconscious is the larger operator of the program. Mm-hmm. And so the first step is just awakening to this fact. And the second step is the dark night of the soul. It's that journey, that spiral, that isolation, the solitude. It's the, you know, it's the time that you get to now come up against all the things that you no longer wish to be, because you know you're not them, But you have been telling yourself you are those things so frequently and repetitively. Well,
I believe
over your
it's
life.
What we've done by these processes and why we've taken them to be so serious and so important is because we had to undo the programming. We didn't just, you know, we're like, you know, I'm not like this. This isn't me. I need to find me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's all about undoing this programming that I wouldn't, I mean, you may have a different feeling to it, but
you're
it's
right
like,
on the, right on the dot.
Yeah. It's like, what they've done to us through, I don't even want to say what they've done to us because they are me, and we are one. And so it's like, I'm not trying to point my finger at these people anymore and say, these are the dark forces of why I'm fucked up. Like, you know, right.
Yeah.
And so emanating love within and pushing it outward as opposed to having them tell, but they told me, you know, I'm weak. I'm worthless. I need them to survive, you know, and they beat us down and beat us down and beat us down. But I feel like it was up to me or like to not blame any outside force for what was going on in my life, but to just continue digging in solitude.
Yeah. I, like right into that, I think a lot of what I was doing was taking just extreme ownership of absolutely everything in my life, everything, you know, even the stuff that was really, I felt unfair at the time or outside of my control. I just took complete ownership of it. Everything in my life is my fault. And then that with the you know, isolating myself and learning to control my thoughts, I eventually arrived to a point where there's no external event whatsoever that can stir my emotions to a point where I will react emotionally about anything. I may feel an emotion. Josh talks greatly about these topics too. I may feel an emotion, but I won't do something damaging to me or make a decision or so. Like for instance, like other breakups and stuff that I've been through, I would eventually immediately like get on Tinder or Bumble or whatever and just start finding some fat
you
chick
know,
to plow
it
know?
Just sounds like, dude it all
but,
it sounds
that's real
like,
shit though and people won't admit that but that's what a lot of men do
it's real talk.
What you're describing to me is that we finally built some mental fortitude. And so, like, just the smallest thing isn't going to crumble us. Like,
it's okay to, like anger comes up, right? And then, like, you can get to a point where you notice it.
It's conscious awareness.
Yeah, and you are outside of it mm-hmm. while you feel it. And then you can consciously, like, in a second, you can be like, oh, that's where this is coming from.
Any situation I'm not finding success in what we're working hardcore on, is rewriting the paradigm, rewriting the program, rewriting the guy who I thought I was,
right?
Because I thought I wasn't this or I wasn't that, and I wasn't incapable of that, and just replacing those with no, I am this, I am that.
And
I
when you get really good at it, you can transmute those energies in live moment, you know. And so when something strikes, a situation happens that maybe doesn't really go well with your version of reality. Well, like Shane is saying, if you can step outside of the emotion and just observe the emotion there, you can give thanks for bringing awareness to the distortion within you, which will instantly bring balance into it. And then simultaneously with our third eye and our ability to cultivate or trigger a higher vibrational frequency, maybe of joy or excitement, you can rewrite mentally and physically that exact same experience in a completely different timeline.
And in hypnotherapy, we use anchors also. Mm-hmm. So like using your index finger and your thumb, like whenever you feel joy or pride of something that you're, you know, something that you've done that you're very proud of.
What's that?
You can just, you know, anchor it in. So press it in every time that happens. And when you're feeling down or when those moments of anger come up, then you can feel that again. And that's like
so Dustin, kind of what she's talking about. So like there would be times that you would practice cultivating love frequency and feeling that. And while you're practicing that frequency, pick an anchor. You're creating something for yourself to be able to help trigger that emotion.
So you can transmute negative polarity.
Exactly. And so,
I mean, when we're talking about this, if I'm thinking back to even maybe the guy I was maybe before I got here sometimes, I don't know.
Which is a different life.
Yeah. I think I lost my train of thought here, but,
I will say, you know, one of the things that, what I was saying, you know, being able to isolate my thoughts and what I've gone through, it's helped me to be able to love everyone around me at such a different level that it's life changing to every single relationship that's ever been in my life. You know, recently we had someone very close to us, so we'll get into it here, but made some comments to Shayna that were nothing really directly mean or anything like that, but it was people who were real close to us that could have easily caused a massive wedge in everybody's relationship around us. And being able to not respond as 98% of people would hearing these certain things, just isolating it and just literally just going over to this person that said stuff like, you know what? I was like, I just love you. And like, I don't care. Like, we're all human and you said things, but like, I just don't care. Like, I just love you. We're all family. We're all just going to sit here and just love each other because it really doesn't fucking matter because we're all going to die and learn these lessons.
And not only that,
like, it strengthened everyone's relationship involved to such a different level that, like, this experience that
could have been very bad
will probably never happen again. And I think part of this, you know, repeating lives over and over again is to learn lessons like that. And when you respond in a way that would either divide or even say, you know what, it doesn't matter, but we sit at home and judge or whatever and never truly deal with it, those are the lessons that we're supposed to learn in this life. And when we refuse that, even though it may not have a direct karmic event that, you know, like they may owe me something, whatever, this undealt with angst that can really ruin relationships for as long as you're alive in this life. So being able to control your mind and get to a point where you can isolate these thoughts all the time is so necessary for your life that you'll never progress anywhere until you learn to do that internally and learn to live with yourself and by yourself and love yourself for what you're thinking. And if you're always chasing some type of external thing to pull you away from what you're experiencing, you'll never grow as a person.
And I just want to point out really quickly that we're always growing, right? Like, that's the point of the journey, is to learn and to grow and to heal and to level up. And there's no destination. I think that's one of the falsehoods that's kind of paraded around, is that I'm going to make it someday. And look, yeah, you might make it to where you're thinking you're going to make it in that moment of thought, but there's another level to
You're literally telling the universe that you're not already there. So give me some more lessons while I'm here in this realm.
Yeah.
So I may be able to achieve that one.
It's and you're constantly changing. You know, like, tricky. I'm probably the oldest person here, but like who I was 5 years ago.
How old are you?
Who I was 5 years ago is still me, but you know, it's a different version of me.
Well, here's the thing. There's no end result. It's like pulling on a thread off the sweater, you know, and you just keep pulling this thing. Yeah. I guess I thought when I started this, I was like, okay, I'm finally going to be this person and I'm going to be conducting business and I'm going to be awesome. And you're like, damn, no, I'm still pulling on shit. And that becomes, I think that would become frustrating to anybody who's not really committed to the work because it's kind of like, in that moment of never feeling satisfied, you have to be content and satisfied.
Yeah, be content.
Because I got lost in the idea of I need to get better, and I'm not ever in a mental state where like I'm also that's divinely conducive. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's also a good opportunity to mention a very simple exercise. Like, y'all are like master class over here.
Oh,
but
thank you.
No, you fit in. But, you're amazing.
Thank you. But there's a very simple exercise that everybody can do to leverage these brain waves, these theta and delta waves. And that's just simply writing down things that you're grateful for. Gratitude. It's like, stare at the sunset. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Stare at the sunset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you do today that made you feel good? Mm-hmm. What did you do today that showed love to somebody that you do love? What did you do today that's going to take you to the next level tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And what can you do better? But mostly focus on what you did today that is great, that you feel good about. And that gratitude will carry you into rewriting that life script of saying, I'm a good person. I did good today. Mm-hmm. I feel good. I look good. I sound good. Whatever.
I did that for an entire year. I wrote down something I was grateful for every day, and I couldn't repeat anything.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and I did it for an entire year. In that year, I was living alone, and both of my kids had decided to go and live with their dad. Mm-hmm. So I was completely alone for the first time since I was like 22 years old.
Wow.
And like, and my kids leaving was like cutting an arm off. You know, it's like I had a missing appendage, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like to take myself outside of that and still realize that, yes, I love my kids and eventually they're probably going to come back and that's going to be fine. But I'm going to take this time to figure out all the other things that I'm grateful for outside of that, you know, and it changed my whole life perspective.
Mm. Very cool.
Highly recommend.
10 out of 10.
So I guess when you started that, because I remember it's like it's been a process for me to not think in a deep, dark, depressing manner.
Sure.
Like, and even this, and I've known all of these concepts for probably 10 or 15 years.
Sure.
I've known about the books. I've read the shit, you know, yeah. And I've faked it until I made it is the only way that I could plan. And man, I hit the floor and bounced back up and hit the floor and bounced back up and hit the floor. And in that process, it was just, I was just over the positive thinking. Yeah, it was just like, annoying. Yo, I want to go back to calling myself a piece of shit again. Like that feels good. Like
it's a known, it's a known association that you have.
So it's with comforting. Yourself.
It's comforting. Yeah. That's what's in the subconscious mind.
You're addicted to the misery. I always like to tell people that. But it's okay. It's, you're just addicted to your own misery.
But it's so what's known to you. Mm-hmm. Like what's not known to us is the scary shit because we know what we know. Mm-hmm. And we've been okay up until this point. So why change it? Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. And that's all in the subconscious mind. And that's why it's important when you have a goal, you say, this is my goal. I set this intention to do X, Y, Z. Yeah. And then we look into the subconscious mind. We say, what's going on? Like, where is the misalignment and how do we align together? And that's, again, part of the point of hypnotherapy is aligning the conscious mind with the subconscious mind. So you have an intention, you do the work, you find the.
And so how much is a session?
You just got one. You owe her $200, bro.
No, we didn't get there yet.
Oh man.
And she's like, and snap. All right. It was a very good podcast. Guys. We're going home now. We're like, what just happened?
All one, of two, a sudden three, four, we wake five, up and all of our wallets are gone. That is not an alignment.
Yeah, this is a beautiful conversation. Yeah,
thank you.
Into past life regressions. And
it was good,
into
guys.
The quantum field.
Hey, man, leave some comments on this stuff, guys, because I'd love to help you out. And if you want to argue the Bible with me, man, I love doing that. So just for the fun of it. But yeah, man, thank you so much for coming out here. I really, really appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this all week, really. So
can you give us a rundown to where we can find you on social, where you're at, and maybe like where we can find your pricing and services?
Sure. You can find all of that information on my website at sapience.love. I'm also on Instagram at ross.sapience.
Ross.sapience. Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yep. Tell her the Diesel Daddy sent you and you'll get a discount.
We'll make it happen.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for being here. This is the Diesel Daddy podcast and we are out.
Peace.
Awesome.